to the book of Acts, chapter 9. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Many Bibles call it the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the act of the Holy Spirit in the apostles. Amen. Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read a few verses this morning, more than one. We're going to begin reading at verse 1, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Let's pray first. Lord, thank you again for your word, and open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murders against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, and that's what they called it before they started calling them Christians, they were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. And then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord said to him, Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. And so the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. King James says, Behold, he prayeth. Eddie was getting into some of those prayeth words the other day, those lith words. Behold, he prayeth. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. And then Ananias answered the Lord and said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And so here we see the conversion of the man formerly known Saul, who became the mighty apostle Paul, and wrote much of the New Testament by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to focus on verse 11 this morning that says, Behold, he prayeth, if you got King James. The New King James I read from said it a little differently. It said, for behold, he is praying. So whether you speak King Jimmy or not, you know, the idea is Jesus knows when we pray. Amen? I mean, there's a testimony from the Lord about a man. And don't you want the Lord to brag on you like that? Behold, he's praying. Look at there, she's praying. You know? We know that God hears us all the time, that he knows everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. But when he testifies to another person about you, that's a good thing. Amen? I want the Lord to gossip about me, and I want it to be good. I want him to say, Behold, he prayeth. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we are told to pray without ceasing. Now, in my walk with the Lord, I'll get on a little tangent and say, I'm going to pray without ceasing. And guess what? It never works. Because I get busy at my job, or I get busy preoccupied with this, or I'm watching TV. It's kind of hard to pray and watch TV. Sometimes you probably ought to pray when you watch TV. But it is God's will for us to be men and women of prayer. Now, what does pray without ceasing look like? How would a person who really was committed to be a person who prays without ceasing, how would he go about doing that? Well, Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." So when we think about someone who's constantly keeping their mind on the Lord, that's what praying without ceasing would be. You're always connected to Jesus. You're never disconnected. You're never so preoccupied with TV or with games or with social events that the Lord is out of your mind. And that's my goal, but I don't do it as well as I should, but it should be all of our goals. And so it says, whose mind is stayed on thee, and then it tells how his mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And so we see that the road to praying without ceasing is keeping your mind on the Lord. And the road to keeping your mind on the Lord is the road of always trusting Jesus. Amen? It's just trusting him all the time. It's knowing no matter what happens in my life, I can trust the Lord. The Lord is going to see me through. It doesn't matter if I'm on the mountaintop or if I'm in the darkest valley. The psalmist said, though I climb to the highest mountain, you're there. Though I descend to the lowest valley, to hell itself, behold, thou art there. To keeping your mind on the Lord, because you can trust him. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Most of us can quote Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him. That means say that God's got this, and he will guide and direct your path. Amen. And so we see that, behold, he prayeth means someone who prays. And to pray without ceasing is to keep your mind on the Lord. And to keep your mind on the Lord means that you're trusting in the Lord. And you trust in the Lord with all your heart, and you don't lean to your own understanding. And so this is how we pray without ceasing. This is how the Lord can brag on us. And what's Roger doing at this time of the day? Behold, he prayeth. I love that. Now, there are two ingredients for learning to trust the Lord. Two ingredients. Number one is his record. His record goes unchallenged. There has never been a time when God was not God. He will see you through. If he spoke it, he will perform it. If he said it, he will do it. He will bring it to pass. He said, "Behold, I am the Lord. I change not." Amen? I change not. Years ago, before I met my first wife, I was dating a young lady, and we were going to go out to dinner, and we were supposed to meet some friends at a certain time. And I'm looking at my watch, back when people wore watches in those days. And I said, "What are you doing?" She says, "I'm changing." And I begin to sing, "Praise the Lord, he never changes." Aren't you glad God doesn't change? God doesn't change. You can trust him. And now sometimes it doesn't look like you can trust him. Sometimes it looks like he has abandoned his throne. Sometimes it looks like he's forgotten about you. He never forgets us. He said, "Could a nursing mother forget her child? Maybe a nursing mother could forget her child, but I could never forget you," says the Lord. He loves you with an everlasting love. He's engraved you in his hand, his nail-scarred hand. In fact, it may have been the rusty nail that engraved you into his hand. You can trust him, his record. Two ingredients for learning to trust the Lord. Number one, his record. Number two, my faith. It doesn't matter that God's record goes unchallenged. It doesn't matter that God never fails if I don't believe it. I have to believe it. I have to put my faith in God and know that God will never fail me. Never. Now, when you got that kind of confidence, it makes it easy to pray without ceasing, because you're just walking around talking to the Lord, because God's always there. Now, one of my Pastor Chuck stories, and I know you guys have heard many of them, who was my mentor for years, told the story that before he took the little church that became known as Calvary Chapel, and before the whole Calvary Chapel movement, he was ordained through the Four Square Church. And he said they had a little lady who was probably in maybe close to her 90s who traveled to these Four Square churches, and she had the gift of exhortation. And she would be asked to come and speak at a church, and she would just exhort people on how they can trust God, how you can just trust the Lord, and God will always see you through. And she had that elderly anointing, that you know what I'm talking about, where you could just feel her trust and confidence from the decades she had walked with the Lord. And there was a gentleman there who had a fleet of trucks and had locations all over the United States. And afterwards, he came up to this woman and he handed her his card and he said, "I see the car that you drive is a little bit older." And he said, "And I know you're traveling to all these churches. And I just want you to take my card. And if you ever have any car trouble, I want you to call me personally, and we will have it towed to one of my locations, and I will take care of you." Very nice gesture by the man. This little woman smiled graciously and thanked him, and then handed his card back to him and said, "Well, I really appreciate it. But see, there may be a time when I can't get hold of you, but I've been trusting the Lord for many years, and I've always been able to get a hold of Him. And He's never failed me yet, and He never will." Isn't that beautiful? That's why we can pray without ceasing, because we can trust Him. Now, men who prayed, Peter and John prayed. In Acts 3:1, we read, "Now Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour." That would have been 3 in the afternoon, the afternoon time of prayer. So we see that Peter and John had a habit of praying. They were men who prayed. "Behold, they prayeth." And oftentimes we say, "Oh Lord, I want you to use me." But oftentimes God is waiting for you to have a prayer life so He can use you. You see, they weren't looking to heal a lame man. They were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. But on the way to the temple at the hour of prayer, they saw a lame man there begging alms, and the Holy Spirit came on Peter. And he said, "Silver and gold have I not, but what I have I give unto you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get up and walk." And he went walking and leaping and praising God. Now, if they said, "Well, you know, I don't know. Do you want to go to prayer meeting? Okay, maybe I will, maybe I won't." Well, think of the lost opportunity. Men who prayed. Daniel was a man of prayer. And then it became illegal. You know what happens if it becomes illegal to pray? We keep praying, amen? Let the people who fear man stop praying, but I fear God. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed," it is now officially illegal, "he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. Behold, he prayeth." Daniel was a man of prayer. He was not moved by what the politics of the day were. Prayer is what we do. We pray. We pray. We pray. Praise God, we pray. Job was a man of God. He prayed, and bad things happened. Have you ever tried to do something great for the Lord and bad things happen? I remember years ago when I lived in Tulsa, we had a lot of bills. I wasn't tithing at the time, and I knew it was wrong not to tithe. And finally one day I said, Lord, I don't care. I'm going to tithe. And the next day my hot water heater went out. The devil loves doing those kind of things, doesn't he? And Job was a man of prayer, and all hell broke loose, and he lost things, and everything went against him. But at the last of the book, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. When? When he prayed for his friends. When did everything turn in his life? When he prayed for his friends. When did everything begin to change and all the darkness begin to flee? When he prayed for his friends. Behold, he prayeth. Praise the Lord. I can relate to Job at times. Our life is a roller coaster, isn't it? We can be up one day and down the next. We can have everything going for us. And sometimes the devil doesn't really have to physically destroy all our stuff and kill our family. All he's got to do is play those head games with us. Amen. I mean, sometimes we can just be depressed and nothing physically has changed. It's how our psyche deals with stuff. But I got a feeling the more you pray, the less susceptible you are to depression or discouragement. And then there's Jonah. Unfortunately, some people have to be in the belly of a fish. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, there's nothing wrong with foxhole prayers. You know, God, get me out of this and I'll serve you. But I think it would be more beneficial to us if we didn't wait until we're in the belly of the great fish before we pray. But he prayed. God has a record that he prayed. Then Jonah prayed out of the belly of the fish. Then Jonah prayed. Then Jonah prayed. I wonder if we get to heaven, you know, you see this footprint thing where God's showing them the footprints of their life, and wonder if we'll get to, like, rewind it and look at it. The Lord's got little red X marks. Then he prayed. Weeks. Then he prayed. Weeks. Then he prayed. Lord, I want to pray without ceasing. I want, then he prayed, 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 then he prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder what I'll miss if I pray without ceasing. Did you see the Super Bowl Sunday? No. Well, come. I was praying. That'll get you. That'll get you, guys. Did you see that TV show Tuesday night? No, I was praying. Don't you do anything but pray? I used to. Then I started looking at the headlines. I realized Jesus is coming. I want to finish the race running. Then he prayed. Behold, he prayeth. Then he prayed. I wonder what the Lord would say if he mapped my life. Then he slept. Behold, he sleepeth. Behold, he eateth. Behold, he worketh. Behold, he runneth. Behold, he watcheth the TVeth. I think there's nothing wrong with watching TV. This is not about TV. You're not going to go to hell if you watch TV. Not going to go to hell if you eat. You might go to heaven sooner if you don't. It's not about thou shalt not. It's about being men and women of prayer. Elijah was a man of like passion, and he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it rained not. I love that verse, because what that verse is really saying in Roger's paraphrase version is, Elijah was a man that had the same hang-ups as you. Elijah got mad. Elijah got angry. Elijah got vengeful. Elijah flew off the handle. Elijah got depressed. Elijah got discouraged, but he prayed and it didn't rain. He had like passions like you. He was a normal guy with the same normal hang-ups, but he prayed and stopped the rain. Do you really believe someone can have that kind of power of prayer? Well, you never know until you try. Amen? Behold, he prayeth. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, some people read that and say, well, I'm not righteous. Well, if you trust in the blood, then you are. Amen? And if you don't, you need to get saved. Because I am as righteous as the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. And so the effectual, fervent prayers of righteous men and women avail much. I can stop the rain. I can stop a freight train. I don't need a big red S on my chest. I am covered in the blood of Jesus, and the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Behold, he prayeth. Notable prayers in the Bible is Hannah's prayer. 1 Samuel 2:1. Hannah's prayer, I know Nola and Eddie, and Karen to a degree, I hear them always talk about praise prayers. Praise prayers. What is this praise prayer thing they're talking about? Praise prayers. Praise prayers. It's praising God. Amen. And you don't think of sometimes as praise as prayer, but it is. And Hannah's prayer is a praise prayer. 1 Samuel 2:1. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation. Hallelujah. Hannah's prayer is a praise prayer. Amen. If you don't know what to say, just start praising him. Just start praising him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Boy, you talk about clearing the room full of demons. Man, they'll pack their bags and run. They can't stand that kind of praising. So Hannah knew how to praise God in her prayers. And then, you know, this became very popular when, what's his name? I forget his name now. Wrote the book of the prayer of Jabez. Wilkerson, yeah. 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have not because you, thank you, Jesus. That's right. Now, what did he ask for? First of all, who did he call on? He called on the God of Israel. Wasn't talking to Buddha or Muhammad or his TV. You think I'm on TVs today, huh? Oh, that you would bless me indeed. I think it's very scriptural to ask God to bless us. God wants to bless us. There are things that would hinder him from blessing us. Consume it upon your own lust. And enlarge my coast, enlarge my tent pegs, enlarge my borders. I want to have a greater circle of influence on people around me. That's what that means. It's not I want more stuff. It's that I want to be able to have an impact on more people. You know, the whole idea of ministry, and I'm not talking about a pastor behind a pulpit, I'm talking about all of us ministering or serving one another, is that God would enlarge our ministry. Amen. Our tent pegs would be moved out. And that your hand might be with me. Now we know that the right hand of the Lord represents Jesus, and we all want Jesus to be with us, right? And what can he do? He can do anything. He can walk on water. He can raise the dead. You know what? What kind of problem could you have that Jesus can't do? We got a record of everything he's ever done, and he has done some amazing things. And he didn't stay in the tomb. He's still alive to keep doing them. Amen? And so God's right hand is with us, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. I've heard people, other translations of this, sometimes change the way that's phrased, but I still think that it's translated accurately from the King James. Because when I grieve others, it grieves me. You cannot cause problems in somebody else's life without it coming back on you. And so we are to follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. And God granted him that which he requested. Darren, would you kick that down a little? I'm roasting up here. 1 Kings, Elijah. We talked about Elijah earlier. 1 Kings 18:36 to 38, what I call the showdown on Mount Carmel. You know, they're like the Clint Eastwood, but they didn't have guns facing each other. There was the worshipers of Baal and the prophets of Baal, and there's one man, Elijah. And sometimes we can also feel like it's just us against the world. And all the more reason we need to be men of prayer, because when I have a prayer life, I do not feel alone. I mean, think about it. Elijah said, you know, they killed all the prophets and I'm the only one. He felt alone. But when you have a prayer life, you're not alone. The Lord is with you every step of the way. You're walking and talking with Jesus constantly. He's right there. Jehovah Sitkino, behold, I am there, right? And so, you know, he issued the challenge. He said to all the lukewarm Christians, that's a good way of putting it, why halt you between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. God hates lukewarm. You know, figure out what side of the fence you're going to be on and get on it. Amen? Hallelujah. And so it finally came to pass, the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that same time, 3:00, when Peter and John were going to the temple, that Elijah the prophet came near and he said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, he knows who he's talking to. Amen? Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. You know, I think if the Lord tarries and persecution comes, there's going to be opportunities for us to be Elijahs in this fallen world. And we need to be prayed up so that we have the boldness to stand up in front of all of the soothsayers and say, let it be known that you are the only God. You are not, there is, you're not the Christian's God. You are the Lord God of all the earth. And let it be known that you are the God in America, in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back again. You see, calling fire from heaven is not about a show. It's about souls, amen? It's about having people's hearts turned back to God. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifices and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water in the trenches. And then everybody gets religious. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Aren't you glad that prayer can make people into believers? Amen. It was not the fire, though one might say it was. It was the prayer, because the fire can't fall until the prayer is prayed. I want to say that again because that's a good place for a shout. Amen. The fire can't fall until the prayer is prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so, what is the Lord saying about me and you? I want to hear him say, behold, he prayeth. God is eavesdropping in my life. looking over, Jesus is looking over to the Holy Spirit and saying, look, behold, Roger's praying. We're praying. When the world is going to hell in a handbasket and there's so many distractions in life, when there's anything you can imagine at your fingertips on TV or social or going out to eat with friends, when the world is calling so loudly and the church is so lukewarm, is there anybody that wants to be like Paul, and where Jesus is looking and saying, behold, he's praying, she's praying, they're praying, glory to God, hallelujah. I believe that's the call of the hour. I love how Abraham, was it Abraham? I don't know. Excuse me, I'm probably getting it all messed up. But somebody said, the dead can't praise you. And the idea, David said that, yeah. And there's something along Abraham's lines too, I think. I could be missing up. But the idea is that when I'm dead, it's too late. When the rapture comes, it's too late. Today is the day. If I don't do it today, when will I do it? Amen? You know, to steal a million-dollar tagline from Nike, just do it, you know? Quit talking about it and just do it. Behold, he prayeth. Joshua, we're going to end here a little early. Maybe it'll give us time to pray. Joshua, chapter 10, verse 12. They're in a war with the enemy. And the enemy is relentless. That means they're not quitting. They're not stopping. You're winning. You're holding your own. You ever feel like hell's doing that to you? Oh, sure we do. If you didn't, you're not living where I'm living. Because, brother, let me tell you, I've had some battles the last month. And Joshua and the children of Israel are in a war. And then Joshua had the audacity. To speak to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children. And he said in the sight of all of Israel, Son, stand still upon Gibeon. And you moon on the valley of Adjon. Now here's a man who knows how to pray. He said, well, Lord, if it's your will, we want to win this battle. Well, there's no debate. We're going to win this battle. God's with us. But I need the sun to stand still so I can mop them up. Sun's about to go down. I ain't going to be able to see. Ooh, God give us Joshua kind of faith. Amen. And Joshua prayed to the Lord. Notice how he prayed. It says he prayed to the Lord. So it's kind of like, I know I'm talking to you, Lord, but I already got this, so you just back me up. Son, stand still. He knows it's a prayer. He's not thinking he has any power in himself. He's still connecting to the Lord. Lord, listen, back me up here. Son, stand still. Amen. I think sometimes we have that poverty mentality when God has said we're the children of the King, and God wants us to pray prayers of rebuke, of power, of authority, amen? Jesus said, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, amen? Jesus asked his disciples, do children of a king and a kingdom pay taxes? No! We're the kids, king. We're the king. I'll get it in a minute. We're the We're the children of the King, amen? And we have power and authority as long as we are underneath the King. And so when we pray, we need to have the Joshua kind of faith that doesn't ask, but tells the demons to flee, the poverty to flee, the depression to flee, come on up, Nola. The fear to flee. Amen. Behold, he prayeth. Behold, he prayeth. He's praying. Behold, that means look. Who's he saying that to? look, in the text he's saying it to Ananias, right? But who else? Is he saying it to someone else? Go look for this dude named Saul in a house on the name of the street is Straight. Kind of tells you it was a straight street, right? And behold, he's praying. Now, how long? The Bible says he hadn't eaten or drinking anything for 3 days, so it kind of makes me think he's been praying for 3 days. Amen? Maybe he fell asleep a few times in there. But, you know, his life has changed. He met Jesus on the road. How many guys met Jesus on the road? We all have, haven't we? And our life has changed. And now, you know, all of a sudden he thought he knew what was going on and he realized he was blind. And sometimes we think we got it figured out and we may be blind in some areas. And so what's the answer to getting our eyesight back? Behold, he prayeth. He prayeth. Lord, this morning as we reflect upon the importance of prayer, we are not rebuking anyone. If anyone, I'm rebuking myself. I want to pray more. I want to pray without ceasing. I want to know how to do it, Lord. I haven't done it real well, but I want to. I want to walk with God. I want to live the Emmaus road every day of my life. I want to feel your presence. I want your presence, your word, to burn in my heart as it did to those two guys on the road to Emmaus with you. I want the testimony of Jesus in my life to be, behold, he prayeth. And maybe you want that too. I hope so. If so, we need to pray the Lord teaches us how to trust him, how to walk with him, how to abide with him, how to live Jesus 24/7. We know you're coming soon, Lord, very soon. Much sooner than many of us realize. Could be next week, next month, next year, but soon. And very soon the trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet you in the Lord, in the air, Lord. And there will be no need for prayer then. We will just be praising you. But today, tonight, tomorrow, we need to pray. We want our testimony. We want when we cross the finish line. Say, oh, here's that guy. I know him. Spent a lot of time with her because she prayed. I heard her daily. I heard her every hour of the day. Oh, she had to do things. She had places to go. But she was always walking with me, having an attitude of prayer. It wasn't an hour that went by that she wasn't connected to me. Holy Spirit, I want to brag on her. She prayed. She prayed. The testimony of her life. Oh, did she go to China and preach? No. Did she feed thousands? No. Did she lead hundreds to the Lord? No, not very many at all. What'd she do? She prayed. He prayed. He prayed. Father, we ask you to forgive us for the wasted hours, the wasted weeks, the wasted years that we floated along as a Christian with our salvation in our back pocket, waiting for you to come, living pretty much a prayerless life. As we are rapidly approaching the day of the Lord, we're asking this morning that by a work of your Holy Spirit, you change priorities in our life so that we can hear you say, she prayed, he prayed. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. We're praying to pray. We're praying to change so that we pray. We're praying for priority changes so that we can pray and be men and women of prayer. As Saul prayed, God sent someone to him, and his eyes were opened. Some of the things that we have been blinded to by the enemy, we will never see the truth or the light until we pray. Some of the fire that we've been asking for God to bring will never come until we pray. Some of the demons that are wanting to thwart our spiritual warfare will never stand still like Joshua's sun and moon until we pray. Lord, help us to pray. Help us to pray. We're going to open the altars, the seats, wherever you feel comfortable. And we're going to take about 5 minutes to pray, because what kind of sermon would this be if we didn't give you a chance to pray? Amen? So I'm just going to ask Nola to minister softly, and let's just take a few minutes to talk to the Lord and ask Him to help us to be more prayerful. Amen. Thank you.
just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 a little heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something
Hallelujah. Let's sing it together.
Jesus, 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 oh, there's just something about
that name.
Hallelujah.
Master,
fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 oh, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name. There's just something about that name.
Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you and keep you as you go your separate ways. May He prompt you this week to pray times that you didn't before, as we all grow, become all that He's called us to be. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Give someone a big hug before you go.